is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier. And two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytril and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytril in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytril carton to Daytril, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytril now and get a dollar back.
Are you the assistant editor of the Belhaven Dispatch?
Kate, for the love of Pete. What a way to surprise a guy.
How are you, David?
Great. I don't have to ask about you. I just have to look. Sit down.
I just dropped by to see Henry. Has he left yet?
We're just looking at his office here. He's on the phone.
Oh, good. I was afraid I'd missed him.
How's it going in the city, Kate?
Fine.
Still with that real estate on?
Oh, yes, but there isn't much doing. Everything is so high, people just aren't moving. And the people who want to come into the city can't find places they can afford.
Yeah, tough times for a lot of people.
I'm just thankful I have that job. If they ask me to wash windows, I will.
I wish Nancy could get a job.
Nancy? Well, why don't you take her on here?
Well, after we let two people go last month? No way.
Isn't she doing anything now?
Babysitting and part-time at the supermarket and getting restless as hell. I wish you'd take her down to the city, would you?
Oh, David, Joy wouldn't let her go.
Well, maybe her father would.
Are you worried about her?
Hmm? No, but I'd like to see her on the right track.
Well, I'm going over there tonight for dinner. I'll see Nancy.
I was asked.
Oh, good.
But I told Joy I'm working late tonight. Faye's out sick. Henry's off the phone now.
Oh, I see. Thanks. David, I'll talk to Nancy if you want.
If I want? Oh, it's not my concern.
But I just can't offer to take her to the city with me.
Well, I didn't mean she should move in with you.
I can't even promise to be there for a while.
Oh? Going away?
Well, I may have to. Sort of a business trip.
I see. Well, good luck, Kate.
Thanks, David. Good luck to you.
Right now, I could use a little. Hey, better catch Henry before he leaves.
Yeah, thanks.
Kate, my dear. Come in, sit down.
Thank you, Henry. Well, I'm going back to the city early tomorrow, and I just wanted to thank you for talking to me the way you did last night.
It did us both good.
You told me one thing about Tom that's put a big puzzle together.
Maybe we should have talked about Tom a long time ago, Kate, but I didn't have your confidence.
And I didn't have yours, Henry. You always treated me as Tom's father did, like a little girl.
I hadn't realized how far young women today have come. You want to do everything yourselves.
Everything that's important.
Well, I hope you'll forgive me for showing a little concern about you, Kate.
I'm grateful, really.
Well, now that I've told you what I know about Glory Point in Jamaica, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I may go down there, Henry.
In the name of heaven, why?
If it's a place Tom knew so well, I want to go back to it.
Kate, last evening we talked about trusting each other. You asked me about Glory Point, and I told you everything Tom had told me. But I think if you have any reason for going down there, you should tell me.
I want to, Henry. Believe me.
Then tell me. Why on earth would you go to a place like that?
Because it's like the last piece of the puzzle of my husband's life.
That's not telling me anything.
You told me that Glory Point was the place where Tom said he had buried his soul.
He wasn't himself by that time. When he was on drugs, he used to talk rather wildly.
Well, don't you think I want to see that place?
You're not being candid with me.
Henry, if I tell you everything that's in my mind, you'll only try to stop me.
Which makes me more of a tyrant than a friend.
Well, wouldn't you?
I'd certainly try to persuade you.
You see.
Kate, Tom was in the cocaine traffic down there. It hasn't stopped. It's bigger than ever. Cocaine from South America is flooding this country. It's being brought in by anyone willing to take the risk for large profits. Last week, a man and a woman were taken off their yacht.
I know, I read about it.
Tom is out of it and at peace. Why would you think of going down there?
Henry, don't fight me.
I'm not fighting you, dear girl. I'm trying to take care of you.
But I am not that 19-year-old girl getting married to Arthur Wakefield's son. Too young to know what I was doing. Henry, I've grown up. I must handle my own life.
And you won't trust me?
Oh, Henry, I don't want to hurt you, but don't you see? You make it too difficult.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This is your cold, dear. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Making the drinks early, Dad?
Oh, just set up, honey. Your mother likes things ready in advance.
It's not all that much of a party.
Oh, it's always a party to your mother when we have guests.
It's only Kate.
Well, we haven't seen her in some time.
Hmm. David's not coming.
Yes, so I heard. He has to work late.
I figured he wouldn't come.
Oh, your crystal ball tell you, honey?
No, my woman's native intuition.
You mean you've got that going for you, too?
Going against me. Well, I've made up my mind.
Good.
You don't even know what about, Dad.
Well, I like a sense of order.
Then I'll tell you. If Kate's willing, I'm going to go back to the city with her.
Oh, fine.
No matter what anybody... What did you say?
I said fine.
Mom wouldn't think so.
She just might.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Did she say that?
Honey, nobody could try harder than you have to get a job here in Belhaven. Now, I'm not sure you could get one in the city, but... If you want to go back to that studio club with Kate and take courses at the university...
You and Mom wouldn't object?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that what you want?
To go with my parents' consent? Dad, I want to defy the world, to fight for my freedom, to have everybody say, there goes Nancy, plunging to her ruin.
Oh, I didn't realize... That was what you had in mind.
Now you're making fun of me.
No, I'm just blundering along after you.
Well, it's perfectly simple if you understood my cosmic urges.
Oh, honey, you're at the age for them.
I don't mean something primitive like sex. I mean like feeling the vibes of life, being in tune with the expanding universe.
Oh, that is quite a program.
Oh, there's Kate now. Coming! Hey, Kate!
Hi, Nancy. It's so good to see you.
Come on in. Mom's still in the kitchen. Dad's warming up on being with it. David was supposed to pick you up, but he's not coming.
I know.
You saw him?
Oh, I dropped in at the paper to see Henry and ran into him.
Then he really is working?
Certainly. He wouldn't say so if he wasn't.
Maybe, maybe not.
Welcome, Kate.
Hello, Jim.
Good to see you.
Well, it's good to be here. I'll go say hello to Joy.
Hey, wait, hold it. She's making a chocolate mousse for you. You can't even breathe near her.
Oh, she shouldn't have done it.
Try and stop her.
Oh, I am happy to be here with you. There's just no place like it.
Yeah, that's what I say.
And you look wonderful, Nancy.
Oh, that's all I need.
Wrong, huh?
Well, I hoped you would say I looked pale and interesting. Oh, this isn't my day.
Kate, Nancy has just had the dreadful news. She can move into the city with her parents' permission.
Isn't that a drag? The fires of revolt down the drain.
Poor baby. So what are you going to do?
Move into the studio club with you.
Oh, you are? Well, when, Nancy?
Right away. Isn't that okay?
Well, of course.
But.
No but. It's just that I'll get it.
Kate, be honest about this. If you think Nancy would be in your way...
She couldn't be. I love her. But I've got to be away for a while, Jim.
A little vacation?
No, it's a business matter, something I have to do.
We'll take her with you.
Jim, I couldn't.
It's just a joke. She isn't happy.
I see that.
Hey, that was David. He asked if he could come over this late, and I said, sure. I mean, why not? I won't be in his hair much longer. So when do we go, Kate? Or am I in your hair, too?
Of Love has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol Shampoo Formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Dear friends, greetings, salutations, and welcome to Vanity Fair. I am its author, William Makepeace Thackeray. Are you cast down that our Becky has been banished by Miss Crawley? Come. Had Becky and Rawdon been forgiven in a twinkling, this story would not have continued. Their coming adventures not recorded. Adventures which would not occur had those two been housed and sheltered under the comfortable, uninteresting forgiveness of Miss Matilda Crawley. I pray you, dear listeners, take Becky's attitude for your own. She has passed through a time of morose despair, and now lightly regards their period of exile as only temporary. She means to enjoy it, and will begin by dining out with her new husband. Rawdon chose the Star and Garter. Becky chose...
Darling, dearest, do let us not go to that tuppenny halfpenny Star and Garter. Let us celebrate at London's most expensive, resplendent, ravishing place to dine, the Mansion House.
No, love-stricken Rawdon will do anything Becky's heart desires. Picture them in a small private dining room in the mansion house. All about them, draperies of crimson velvet. Above them, a glittering crystal chandelier. In their hands, crystal champagne glasses.
Ah, to my love, my darling, to Mrs. Captain Crawley.
Oh, lovely champagne.
Lovely Becky.
Is this not better than skulking about hiding from Aunt Matilda?
But I say, Beck, a pretty penny all this. Ooh. Like she hadn't cut us off.
Oh, your auntie, our auntie, will relent after a time, and then we shall have what Sir Pitt dangled in front of me. We'll move in the best society, have a box at the opera, the finest carriage in London, and your wife will wear jewels that will put the court to shame.
Without Auntie's money, there'll not be any of that. And I promise you, said I'd get you into society, but damn it all I will, without her confounded money.
Oh, my love, unless she does come round, I'll be properly insulted and slighted and cut at the opera, or wherever else we try to go in society.
Let any insolent woman cut you, and I'll challenge her husband and brothers and fathers with pistols and then bring you the head.
Rawdon, you darling booby, you can't shoot me into society.
I know. Beck. What if the old girl don't come round?
Oh, I say she will. You must say it too and believe it. She'll not be able to bear that dreary house without you and me. We must give her time to find it out, that's all.
How much time?
I don't know or care how much time. I only care that it happens, and it will. If she doesn't decide on her own, we will make it happen.
How, Becky? How?
Captain. Are you not a soldier? We will lay such siege to Auntie with ammunitions invented by your Becky that we'll win this foolish little war.
But if we don't...
Oh, do stop saying that.
Well, hang it, answer, then I'll stop. If she don't come round, if I lose her fortune, what then?
Then I'll make your fortune.
By heaven, I believe you will. You can do anything. You're fit to be Archbishop of Canterbury or Commander-in-Chief, and I'll act under your orders. By Jove, I will, as I charge with my men at the command of my colonel.
Oh, will you truly, my darling?
I will. To me, your words will be oracles. The one time I'd not listen would have us marry. Look what misfortune I brought upon us. But from now on, sir, I follow wherever you lead.
Then I shall give my first order. Kiss me this instant and seal the bargain.
Done. Next order, sir.
We shall rent a little house for Captain and Mrs. Crawley.
Rent a what?
Oh, dearest, your lodgings are too small. Your man has had to give up his room to Giles. We shall rent a dear little house.
Look here. Fritz don't mind putting up across the way.
I mind. You should have your own servant to wait upon you when you need him.
With the cost of a house.
Cost, tra-la. You shall win at cards and billiards and dice. We'll rent the house by the week, so the moment Auntie begs us to return, we'll not have spent more than need be.
I say, but how many guineas spent every week? It wants thinking about, my angel.
Captain Crawley, sir, you are not very well obeying the orders of your commander-in-chief.
Oh, right. We'll rent a dear little house for Captain and Mrs. Commander Crawley.
Done. Can there be listeners who wonder at this marriage from Captain Crawley's vantage? Was his Aunt Matilda right, perhaps, that he should not have married a governess? Who on earth can question a gentleman marrying anyone? How many of even the wise and learned have married their cooks? Did not Lord Liscombe Ladle, himself the most prudent of men, make a runaway match far beneath his station? Were not Achilles and Ajax both in love with their servant girls? If gentlemen made only prudent marriages, what a stop to the population there would be. Oh, dear me, how I do run on. I shall be silent for a time in return. Dear audience, that in our last chapter, Sir Pitt learned the name of Becky's husband, his own son. This father and son have not been on good terms since Rawdon turned from boy to man. Recall also Sir Pitt's response to the news.
By the eternal, I'll kill him! Me son or not, kill him!
From the house in Park Lane, Sir Pitt stormed to the Red Dragon public house, where he brooded, swore, and wept. Well, downing whiskey toddies. The old baronet has now arrived at Rawdon's flat. He scorns both doorbell and knocker. Fists serve better his purpose and temper.
We put the mortgage open. Why, that's the... Oh, Giles.
Oh,
sir. Imagine me where.
Sir.
Where is he? Rawdon, come out, you damn coward. Out in the open.
Oh, sir, he's not here.
You lie. Ha! Hiding. We're hiding. Speak, girl. Where is the swine? Where's Becky?
No, sir, not hiding. They've gone out to... They're out.
Where out? Answer me.
I don't know, sir.
Back when? Tell me that.
I don't know. They'll be back at all. Not tonight, Sir Pitt. Now, you'd best go home and come another time.
Where the devil I go from here? Stay till I throttle that curd of a dog with my own two hands.
Oh, sir, you'd not do that.
Wouldn't I? Married me, Becky. Stole her from me. By God, he'll pay for it.
Oh, Miss Becky, Mr. Rawdon.
So, there you are, poltroon.
What the devil? What's this, Papa?
Papa? Hey, you're no son of mine. I'll kill you. By damn, I will, you young whelp.
How do you do that, little Hottentot?
Spittling pup, don't bandy with me.
Oh. That's enough, both of you. Stop it. Stop it. Stand back.
I'm not. Put up your hands, Rawdon. Oh. Fight like a man.
Don't you touch him, Rawdon.
Get from betwixt us, Betty. Out of the way.
Sir Pitt, you can fight to your heart's content, father and son, but not till you hear what I have to say.
I don't want to hear. Want to kill him, Judge.
You will hear. Rawdon, sit down.
Oh, yes, sir, Commander.
You leave him at me.
Sir Pitt, keep silent.
Damn it, what the...
Now then, sir. You and I were friends, were we not?
Aye, friends. Him over there took you from me. I've lost you.
Do you want truly to lose me? Want never to see me again?
Becky,
I am your daughter now. Will you not have it so? Will you have me never come to Queen's Crawley? Never laugh with me, joke with me? Is that what you want, sir?
Becky,
then fight with my husband. Fight with your son. 'Twill gain you nothing, only lose you, Becky Sharp, forever. We will never meet or speak again. 'Tis for you to decide. Choose.
Now, Becky, don't say it. Never to see you, hear your pretty voice, your pretty laugh.
Choose
what always I've chose since first I laid eyes upon you. I choose Becky Sharp. Choose, damn it all, Mrs. Rawdon Crawley.
Oh, Commander-in-Chief, indeed. Don't fancy, dear listeners, Sir Pitt will hate his son less. Only love Becky more. Tomorrow, my friend, and I am your ever faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Final Net, gives your hair a great long-lasting hold.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work.
The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Oh, good morning, good morning, good morning. What's the matter? It's not a good morning?
Debbie did not come home.
She didn't come home?
She did not come home. I haven't slept a wink all night.
Well, why didn't you wake me?
I didn't see any point in two of us worrying. You've got to go to work today. I thought you needed your sleep.
Are you sure she said they were all getting back last night?
I don't remember that she said. Naturally, I assumed a weekend of skiing meant she'd be home Sunday night. She has school today.
Yeah.
Oh, here, dear. I poured your coffee so it would cool off a bit.
Oh, thank you. Didn't come home, huh?
We should never have let her go, Bob. Never. Should never have let you and Aunt Maggie talk me into letting her go. Remember, I said no right
from the start. Honey, Debbie is nearly 17.
She is still 16. And I don't care how modern times are supposed to be. The idea of a bunch of kids going off for a skiing weekend unchaperoned.
Peg, I'm afraid the word chaperone is going out of the vocabulary.
I'm afraid so. Yes, I'm also pretty old-fashioned, despite the fact I like to think of myself as being very up-to-date.
I don't expect many parents are very up-to-date, not if they really care what happens to their children. Hey, it's funny tasting orange juice this morning.
We ran out. I put some grapefruit juice in it. You would notice.
Well, where's Aunt Maggie? Usually she's the first one up.
Well, she heard me wandering around the house in the middle of the night. She couldn't sleep either. So we sat downstairs and worried together. What do you think has happened to Debbie and the others?
Well, frankly, I suspect the weather conditions up north are worse than here. Northern Vermont and New Hampshire always get worse weather than we do here in Beckett. Maybe snow, road conditions.
She could have phoned.
I thought you said Clark's grandparents' lodge didn't have a phone.
Don't they have any neighbors with phones?
Peg, dear, I don't know. We just have to trust Debbie.
Well, you said last week when she wanted to go, it's not a question of trusting Debbie. You said, could we trust Clark?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Shall I call the Bowmans? Jennifer was one of the other girls who was going. I could call Mrs. Bowman and just casually ask if she's heard anything, you know.
Yeah, well, sure, yeah, but what if Jennifer got home?
What do you mean by that? I don't know what you mean.
Well, there were two cars, or three. What if some of the kids got back home and Clark and Debbie still haven't returned?
Well, they haven't.
You're not getting my point. If the rest of the kids are back, do we want the Bowmans to know that our daughter is, what, they're still somewhere with Clark overnight?
Oh, yes, I see. Well, they were all overnight at the place for a whole weekend. Who knows what went on? Since the Bowmans let Jennifer go, they must have known the circumstances, too.
True, true. Well, I don't care. Call Mrs. Bowman.
Where they live? Back in Woods, I think.
Okay. Any blueberry muffins left?
Yeah, in the bread box. Can't find any Bowman listed at all.
I don't think it's Bowman. I mean, isn't it Bowman, B-O-H-L-M-A-N?
Yeah, Bowman, B-O-H-L, yes, here it is. You don't think maybe we should call the state police instead?
Oh, no, why drag the police into it?
That could have been some terrible accident.
I had the local news on this morning, and there was no terrible accident. Anyhow, Debbie always carries identification. The police would have called us.
Oh, that's a pleasant thought. Bowman, 8703. Oh, dear. Tell you. I think it's another.
What are you doing?
Calling Mrs. Bowman.
No, you just dialed four digits.
Yeah?
You can't dial just four numbers.
Yes, I can, to make local calls here in Beggars. Just the last four numbers. You didn't know that? We've lived here all these years. You didn't know that?
No.
Sure, dear. All you need to do is dial. Hello? I'm Mrs. Bowman? This is Peg Baxter. Debbie's mother? Yes, we were expecting Debbie home last night from the skiing weekend, and since she's not here yet, we were wondering if you'd heard anything from your Jennifer. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Debbie said Jen was going too. Oh, no. No, I'm sure everything's fine. We're not worried. We were just sort of wondering if, All right. Goodbye, Mrs. Bowman. Jennifer Bowman did not go on the trip.
Debbie said Jennifer was going. I remember her saying it.
I know. Well, Debbie lied to us.
Huh.
Gives you a funny feeling, doesn't it, to realize your very own child has lied to you?
Yeah, it sure does. Mrs. Bowman must realize it, too.
Oh, Mrs. Bowman said to me, why? She said, no. My husband and I would never have allowed Jennifer to go off on an unchaperoned weekend. You can imagine how I felt.
Uh-huh. Where'd you say the blueberry muffins were?
Oh, bread box. Sit still. I'll get them for you.
You don't think Debbie'd elope, do you?
No.
She's awfully crazy about that boy.
Oh, she was saying just the other day she'd never elope. She wants a big wedding, she said, when she gets married. I think we made a mistake. We should have followed our first instincts and not let Debbie go. Being unchaperoned is asking for trouble.
Oh, look, for Pete's sake, being chaperoned isn't all that great. It doesn't mean a thing, really. We had chaperones at all our fraternity parties, and always, without fail, it was the chaperones who got drunk as hoot owls and wouldn't have known what was going on anyway.
Well, things were going on then. You said so yourself.
Well, you're in college.
So, with all the sex and magazines and movies nowadays, there isn't anything the teenagers in high school don't know about. Probably the grade school kids, too. Even kindergarten kids can look at pictures if those magazines are lying about.
I thought you were getting me some blueberry muffins.
Oh, got over here at the bread box. I couldn't think what I was doing here. Yes, here it is. Maybe I got my mind on one thing.
Somebody put the butter away last night. It's hard as a rock.
Well, I know. I did. I meant to leave it out. I'm sorry. Supposing Debbie... Well, supposing something happened and now she's in a state of shock, or she's ashamed to come home, or she's hysterical.
Whatever she is, she is also home. Look out the window. Isn't that Clark's car just turning into the drive?
Oh, yes. Boy, do I want to talk to her.
Boy, do I want to talk to him.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
What I want to know is, why didn't Clark come in the house with you?
He wanted to, Daddy. I told him not to. I didn't want you to jump on him.
Oh, that's nice. That's the reputation I have. Since when do I jump, as you put it, on your boyfriend?
Well, you're all ready to do it right now, and you haven't even heard what happened.
Debbie's right, dear, and we certainly do want to hear what happened. First of all, did you have a good time?
No.
No? What do you mean?
What was the matter?
Huh?
First of all, they could all ski better than I can, so they just left me and went up on the big slopes.
Well, you probably have to take some ski lessons, Debbie.
Well, as a result, I was the only one who did all the cooking. I was getting the meals ready while they were all out having fun.
You did the cooking. What in the world did you fix?
Oh, hot dogs, hamburgers, pizza.
I thought you told us you were getting home last night.
Well, we were supposed to, Daddy, and everybody else did except Clark and me.
You were alone up there with Clark?
Yes, we were left alone to do the dishes and clean up the mess that everybody just left. They didn't help with one thing. They just packed up their sleeping bags and ski equipment and took off for home. Clark said that we couldn't leave the place like that because his grandparents would be furious.
Well, that's for sure.
So we did the dishes and swept up, and by then it was dark and it started to snow. Clark thought we should stay, but I had had it. I wanted to get home.
Maybe you should have stayed. You might have got caught in a snowstorm. The car stuck in a snowdrift or something.
Oh, yeah. I knew what Mother would have had to say if we stayed up there alone.
Oh, now, Debbie.
Well, you would.
Look, I'd rather you were ruined, as they say, rather than freeze to death.
Peg.
Well, what were the sleeping accommodations up there?
Everybody had sleeping bags.
That's not exactly what I meant.
Look, could we find out where you've been all night?
Driving down. Clark took the wrong turn in the snowstorm and we got lost and had to go back. Finally, we found this all-night diner and stayed in there for a couple of hours just getting warm and having something to eat.
Well, there must have been a phone. I sat up all night waiting.
Mom, if I'd phoned you at that hour, you either wouldn't believe me or else you would have worried even more.
Well, maybe so. I don't know. You certainly must have been mad at the other girls for not helping you clean up.
Well, I'm never speaking to Patty or Katie again. Never.
Did Jennifer help? You said Jennifer Bowman was going, too.
Yeah, she wasn't there. Her parents wouldn't let her go after all. I wish you hadn't let me go.
What are you talking about?
Why, you begged us to let you.
You were yelling at us that we were old-fashioned and all kinds
of... Did Clark make a pass at you?
No. I was not attacked in any way, shape, or form. Obviously, you have a very undesirable daughter on your hands. You certainly did not need to worry about anything. Oh, I'm going to change my clothes and get to school. Oh.
All right, Debbie. Why does she go on so about not being attractive or desirable, as she puts it? She is pretty, isn't she? Why doesn't somebody make a pass at her?
First you worry they will, now you worry they don't.
Oh, she worries about it. Oh, I tell you, this being parents. When Debbie does get married, do you think we'll cry at her wedding?
Of course we'll cry. Bucket.
With relief.
Yes.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden and Irene Wagner as Debbie was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. I'm Charles Woods. Program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold, dear. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought Four-Way Nasal Spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than Four-Way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought Four-Way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on Four-Way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Emily? Emily, where are you?
I'm up in the attic, Angela.
What are you doing up there?
Hey, you'd better have a sweater on, Angela, if you're coming up.
Oh, it's freezing up here.
Oh, Angela, look what I found.
Oh, Mother's Songbird. Oh, I remember that tune.
I love it. I came up to get some extra blankets and came across it.
Ooh, come on, Emily. Let's go downstairs.
Okay.
Here, I'll carry the blankets.
Oh, thanks. You know, I'd forgotten all about Mother's sewing box.
Didn't Daddy bring it back from one of his trips?
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Do you realize how few things we were able to keep to remind us of them?
I know.
Everything seemed to vanish.
I've got a tea kit along for some tea. Have you got time?
Oh, yes. I'm not due at Jefferson for another hour.
Oh, good. Just drop the blankets on the bench. We'll go on down to the kitchen.
Okay. You know, the sewing box is in great condition. The blue satin lining is hardly even faded.
Uh-oh, there's the kettle.
Angela?
Hmm?
I'd like you to have the sewing box.
Oh, no, you keep it, Emily.
No, you take it for now.
You can give it to Susie later on.
You think she's going to take up mending?
Well, she just might.
Angela, do you know something? You look terrible.
Oh, well, that's just what I needed.
Those circles under your eyes, aren't you sleepy?
Yes, but not very well. You're worrying about me.
Emily,
please?
Now, honey, look, I know I can't tell you not to, because you will anyway, but...
I'm
please.
Over some of the
shock, I guess, but...
I can't believe...
Here. Tea's all ready.
Now, look, Angela. We've got to live with it. All of us. It's tough, but... when I see it's hurting you like this, it's going to be harder for me.
Is that Mr. Wilcox again?
I think he's just used to buzzing for his secretary.
Rich, is anything going on?
Oh, nothing new, Dr. Carter.
Oh, well, here's some messages, Jason.
Oh, thanks. Angela, are you busy right now?
We're doing medications, and then I have to go down to X-ray.
Well, I can handle it, Angela.
Maybe later, Jason.
Oh, okay. I'll be in Dr. Foster's office.
All right, doctor.
Man. Marsh, I don't get it.
What's that?
What's happened to Angela?
She's worried about Emily.
Well, we all are. You'd think it would bring us closer together, but Angela's practically refusing to discuss anything with me.
Oh?
Look, she's talking to you. Do you think you...
I'll try, Jason. It's got to be a reaction to Emily's illness.
You're a dear to call. No, really, I am fine. I know, but now please, don't worry about me. All right. Mm-hmm. Lunch on Thursday. I'll see you then. Goodbye. Oh, Caroline, give my love to Robert. Bye. Oh, it's like dropping a pebble in the water. The ripples spread and... soon everyone will know. I don't know why it helps to keep a diary, but it does. Now, let's see. My physical condition isn't any worse. At least not today. There are days when I'm perfectly all right, and the very idea of a brain tumor is ridiculous. I suppose my main concern is the future. The children's and Jason's. How will they manage? I keep remembering how hard it was for Angela and me after Mom and Dad were gone. All the things Angela had to take on. How she took care of me. Of course, Jason will be here alone. For bringing me home, Marsh. I'd ask you in, but I really am exhausted.
Well, at least let me carry this in for you.
What is it?
An old sewing box that belonged to Mother. Emily found it in her attic. Listen.
Must bring back memories.
It does.
Are you sleeping any better?
Oh, if I get tired enough.
Angela.
Well, I just can't accept the fact that Emily's going to die.
You're not helping matters this way.
I know that, but our lives have been so closely connected. From the time we lost our parents until she married Jason, we were always together. It wasn't until I met Jason...
When she met Jason?
No, I met him first. I introduced him to her.
Oh?
It was the night she graduated from high school. Oh, it's so long ago now. Marsh, it's so late. You really have better...
Are you sure you're all right?
I'm fine, Marsh. No, I'm not. But I will be all right. You better go.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, and thank you, Marsh. Oh, I wonder how different things might have been if Mother and Dad hadn't died and left us alone.
Jason!
You know, I think you're dizzy from the merry-go-round there.
Maybe I am, but I like it that way. Let's walk out to the end of the pier.
You promise not to push me in?
I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
You're going to meet Emily, and I want you to make a good impression on her.
Well, as long as I've made a good impression on her sister, I'm not worried.
Oh, you think you have, huh?
Well, I've been trying.
You'll like her, Jason.
So?
I was so proud of her tonight when she walked up for her diploma.
Yeah, I'll bet. It's just been the two of you ever since.
Yes. Since I was 16, Emily was 13. I'll never forget. Well, I had to tell her about the accident.
Oh, gee, you poor kid.
I promised myself right then that if I could help it, she'd never be hurt again.
Well, that's a pretty tall order. Say, look, what do you say we borrow the rowboat and row over to that island?
Huh? Oh, yep. Oh, we can.
What?
Emily's going to meet us here. Her class is having a party in the Park Pavilion. She's coming over here just to meet you.
Oh, that's a nice dark island over there.
Oh, we can go after you meet Emily. She'll be going back to her class party. Oh, there she is now.
Hey! I got it. I got it.
I was there and I saw you, honey. We'll frame it and hang it on the wall.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Emily, I'd like you to meet Jason Carter. I mean, Dr. Jason Carter. And Jason, this is my sister, Emily.
Hello, Emily.
Hello, Jason. Dr. Jason.
You can call me Doctor.
Isn't this the most exciting night of my life?
Well, I hope not.
Hey, you trying to spoil it?
No, I just meant you'll be having other exciting nights.
How's the party?
The party?
Oh, the party. Well, it's fine. But all the boys are being silly.
What do you mean?
Oh, you know, just silly.
So listen, let's walk over to that custard stand, huh?
Oh, I'd love a custard. Wouldn't you, Angela?
Oh, sure. I haven't had one for at least half an hour.
Emily, are you going to become a nurse like your sister?
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't think you'd make it through probation.
And they just walked on ahead of me. I think I knew almost right away. Maybe even before they did. Maybe if Jason and I had rowed out to the island that night instead of waiting for Emily.
To Hold has been brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.